Hey, Clarice, the slow cooker. Hey, okay, the slow cooker. Okay, it just went off. Okay.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted, let's welcome everybody to episode 71.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Yeah.
Are you in pain?
Am I in pain?
Yeah, from your training?
Yeah, shoulders are a little tight. Why, you see Clarissa behind me rubbing me down?
Yeah.
I told her, I said, how about rub my shoulders until we crack the beer, because we're going to share one tonight.
Oh, nice.
Then I thought, man, we should just do the beer at the very end, so I have like an hour-long rub down over here. Nah, we're not going to do that. So speaking of which, why don't we do beers, and this way I could give Clarissa's hands a break.
There you go.
The healing hands.
Cool.
Now, you know, it's like you're in that bicycle position for just so long sometimes, hours on end, that, man, after a while, you just get like, you're like a, I don't know, stuck in that position and you can't move.
Oh, I know about something about not moving.
Yeah, and your shoulders get sore and stuff. So what beer do you have tonight?
I have a very light beer. So I, too, I'm not under the weather per se, but I, too, am in a lot of pain from an early weekend of physical labor.
Oh, I saw you guys were splitting and chopping wood.
So Frank and I got the log splitter Friday morning, and we went to splitting wood for, I would say, about 6 hours, 6 hours straight.
Man, if you're hurting, how do you think he feels?
Well, you know, he's in peak Frank form, you know.
Yeah, like
he could go for 6 hours. I was, you know, we were both in a lot of pain, and he got all of his magical stuff going. But I have a very light beer.
Okay.
This week it's Leinenkugel.
Leinenkugel, yeah, from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got their grapefruit shandy.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a white beer with honey and other natural flavors. So
yeah, Leinies, when I used to live in Chicago, we would get those, and you know, they were regional for a time. And then it looks like they ventured out to California. I've seen them around in like liquor stores and such.
Yeah, they're just a typical beer, but Anne was supposed to like shandy. She is a big shandy fan, but this is too much beer for her. So
what is shandy?
Shandy is like a mix of a fruit and a white beer, usually.
Oh yeah, like in Belgium they do that a lot of times.
Exactly. So when she was in Germany, she had shandies, like lemonade and white beer, or orange juice and white beer.
Yeah.
But here, because it's all in a drink, it's a little more beer forward. So here we go.
And this week, from number one fan Paul Pasternak, he went to Oakland and brought back a crowler. Have you ever heard of a crowler?
Oh, no.
Yeah, crowler's like a growler, but in a can.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a 32-ounce can. That's why we're sharing tonight, because I'm not drinking 32 ounces of beer. Put the can next to my head so you can see how big it is.
So you see how huge it is.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to put you in a coffin, Jimmy.
I know. I don't get that. Why is it in a coffin? It's a beer. So I took a photo of it. It's a beer bottle with a cross and a coffin. I'm thinking, what's the message? But anyway, so it's this particular one is a Belgian Saison 6.2 ABV. It's dated March 23rd, and it's a Maduror. 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 I don't know.
Can I see is that hand printed on there?
Yeah, they just wrote with a Sharpie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So hang on. Let's gotta get my finger under it. Oh. Oh, it splashed a little bit. Okay, I think we're good. Man, I don't think it hit the keyboard.
Again, the glass desk is doing its work.
Yeah, but, oh, jeez.
Oh, you're spilling all over the place, Jimmy.
I know. Oh, my God. There you go. Go for it, Clarice. Okay.
What is her cup is under your cup catching the
No,
the
she spill? Has a...
Oh, a little rag.
Yeah, okay. This makes for good radio. Look at Jake's on the floor drinking it up. He's over there licking it. All right, let me get yours poured. Okay. Oh, man, this smells so good. All right, I'll give you that so you don't get... takes you a while to drink some. All right. So Clarissa is going to go off and watch more Grimm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we talked about Grimm a little bit last week, but...
That's right.
All right. Well, let me take a sip here. I mean, man, the head looks good on that. Ooh, it's nice. And here, cheers. Prost, or however they say it. I don't know. What's that? Prost is like...
Prost is in, I don't know, Czech, in Prague, right?
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what's this? Where were we? Estonia. In Estonia, they say tervisex. So I asked the guy, I said, what, or a gal, I think it was a gal waitress. Uh-huh. I said, what does that mean? She said, well, you know, everybody's always saying to your health, but she says, Estonian is a naughty language. I said, a naughty language? She says, yes, it means good sex. Like before drinking, you bid everyone good sex? Wow, that's kind of cool.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, wow. Really smooth, fruity, super amazing. Yeah, I love it. This is really good. Thanks, Paul.
Cool. Thank you, Paul. I'm a little worried about number one fan, though. If I go driving in the winter and my car breaks down, if Paul saves me, am I do I have to be worried?
Why is that? What am I missing?
Misery. The number one fan.
Oh, yeah. Next thing you know, he'll be smashing your ankles.
Yeah. Do the podcast from bed.
That's right. Hey, the show must go on, Ted. The show must go on. So what, how was your week? What's going on?
Oh, this week, man. Yeah. Well, hit me up with your week first. I went first last week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So more or less mild week, kind of standard week, but I'll get to what was fun today. So I'm out for a training ride, about 65-mile training ride, uh-huh, and never been down these roads before. I figured out because, like, I finally got on Strava after all this time. Strava is like a training road riding, I guess mountain biking maybe, app. But anyway, so I finally get on there and I'm like, oh wow, there's, you know, I see some maps. So I get out on Foxen Canyon Road and Cat Canyon Road and Elisos Canyon. I mean, beautiful roads. I mean, like, mm-hmm, gorgeous. Winery. I mean, it's like, it's just amazing. It's completely amazing. So I come around the bend and I'm like, you know, I got to pee. So I pull over on the side of the road. And I never get off the bike. I just wait till there's like a long stretch I can see in both directions. And then I wear bibs. So bibs are like shorts that are like, they go over your shoulders though, right?
Uh-huh.
So the way I go usually, not to get to too detail, but the way I go is I pull up like the side of the bike short pant leg thing, you know, and then take care of yeah, business, right? So while I'm going, this motorcycle flies by and the back says official. And I'm like, official? Official what? And I look the other way. Here comes this woman's road race that's coming down Foxen Canyon Road. Or actually, it was Palmer Road I was on at this point. But yeah, it was like a collegiate women's road race. So, you know, I finally, like, I finish up what I'm doing and I get back on the bike. And so I'm riding along, you know, and I'm talking to a couple of them. And they tell me it's like a road race, like UCSD and UC Santa Barbara, you know, and it's like a bunch of like collegiate women's road race. But, you know, you're sitting there like taking a leak on the side of the road and all these women come riding by. It was quite comical.
What happens during a real race? Do you just go?
It depends. Like, so what I have done before, what pros do, whatever, couple things. One is there's just like a unwritten rule that when everybody has to pee, you kind of all just take a pee and nobody really attacks or anything because it would just be totally uncouth to attack. Like, oh, they're all peeing. This is my
chance.
There's
my chance.
Yeah, right. No, nobody does that. The other thing is, if you really have to go, then you elicit the help from like teammates. So what you'll do is you'll position yourself on your bike in such a way that you kind of like pull it out and start going. But then you get like a teammate behind you and he's like pedaling along, like pushing you to make sure you stay with everybody while you're going. You know, that's probably a little less sanitary, I guess, but but yeah, typically though, you just pull over and like everybody kind of has an understanding that it's like, you know, pee time and nobody attacks and you just kind of go through the motions.
But none of those girls knew that you were peeing. They just thought you were going along the road.
No, I have a feeling they knew. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, well, the funny thing is though, so I'm standing there and then the lead one goes, on your left. I'm like, sure, whatever. I'm just standing here. But, you know, hey, man, you got to go. You got to go. You know, I'm not going to suffer for anybody. So you had a busy week, it sounds like.
I had another busy week, so work is definitely piling up. We're in the last stretch of planning for Asian Pacific Islander Heritage Month, or it might be Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, depending on what calendar you look at or what association you look at. So there's a lot of acronyms flying around. We're nailing down a lot of details, and I think the official calendar of events for May went out on Friday.
So if I may ask...
Please ask.
When you first started talking about this, it sounded like it was just some inner office like festivities.
Uh-huh.
But is this like going to land on TV or something? Like, you're really stressing over this.
Well, it's fun, but there's a lot of inter-office coordination. So there are many Asian Pacific Islander groups within my company. And then there's also many other, they call them BERGs.
BERGs.
It stands for, now I got to remember this, Business Employee Resource Group. Yes, I got it.
Business Employee Resource Group. Okay.
Yes. So the BERGs are like the associations within a big, massive company that associate with a certain class of people, I guess.
Okay.
And all the BERGs are open to all people, but they represent a certain class of people. So we have the LGBTQ BERG, you know, we have multiple number of Pride BERGs. We have some, the African-American BERG, which is called Bond, you know, and then we have Impact, and there's some others that are also Asian Pacific.
And what's the purpose of a BERG?
BERG is just to celebrate your culture and where you come from and who you are as a person and just helping, you know, other people. So it's just like, you know, there's a women's group. There's all, you know, it's just any group that that needs more representation or feels like they have a strong association can get together in a BERG.
Are you compelled to participate?
No.
Oh, okay. So like you're an Asian Pacific Islander thing that you're doing in May and you don't want to be a part of it. You could just be like, I'm not into that.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. If you wanted to, whatever. I got you.
So that starts in May, which is this week, I guess now. When this releases, it will be in it. And then also on Tuesday, Audrey had a lab down at Disneyland. And originally we thought that we were going to watch Audrey perform at Disneyland because sometimes they have high schools and middle schools perform various things at Disneyland. There's a stage right next to Monsters, Inc. ride where you can watch. I saw some steel drum high school band there. A couple months ago.
Like Caribbean steel drums?
Yeah, it was awesome. They were doing like Disney songs on steel drums. It was pretty cool.
Wow, that is cool.
So Audrey's in orchestra, and we thought we're going to go see her perform there. So took the day off work, organized a couple, our family and another family, to go down to watch our kids. And then as it approaches, Audrey tells us, I think on Friday, the week before, oh no, you're not getting to see me perform. We're actually just going to Disney to hang out at Disney. And then there's like a lab where they have musical instructors at Disney that have classrooms and teaching areas.
Like workshops.
Exactly. So they basically attended a workshop at Disneyland. So they get 2 hours of a workshop and the rest of the day they get to hang out at Disneyland, which is cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is.
But we already took the day off work. We already arranged to go hang out with his other family. So we're like, all right, so I guess we'll see you for a couple hours at Disneyland. So on Tuesday, we met up with the Gainies. I think I've mentioned the Gainies before.
I think so.
They gave me a beer to have on air. So Matt and Terry got their RV, which they call Felicia. So we got the RV and rode the RV from Burbank to Anaheim, which is the number one way to go to Disneyland. If you can go to Disneyland in a big RV, it's amazing. So Tuesday, we spent all day at Disneyland. They're from Orlando, so they've been to Disney World a bunch, but this is their first trip to Disneyland, which is always fun to take people for their first time at Disneyland. So we spent all day there. I think we got home at midnight. But like I said, coming home in an RV, the kids crashed out on the bed. You know, it was the most luxurious way to get to and from Disneyland.
And you don't have to like be belted in one of those things?
No, if you're up in the front, the two front seats, you have to, you know, wear your seatbelt. But the rest of it, you can walk around.
So this way, when, you know, the thing goes flipping, you just fly all over the inside of it, right?
Yeah, they figure you're not gonna, you're just gonna slam into cabinets and stuff.
That's
so
right.
Fine.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was Tuesday. Then, like I said, the rest of the week was just mad scrambling, trying to arrange the different panels and screenings for the month, wrapping up the quarterly report, which is not as interesting. And then on Friday, I took another day off, and Frank and I chopped wood, like starting at like 7:30 in the morning. So we chopped wood for 6 hours. We put a huge dent in it. We chopped all the old wood, and we had some new wood, some old wood that's like 4 months old. So that was well seasoned enough to split really nicely. We had some newer wood that we got like a month ago, and it was too wet. So we chopped a little bit of that, and we're like, forget it, you know? So it was 3 o'clock, 3:30. We're like, oh, Katie Cooper wants to go to Disneyland tonight. So we went to Disney again on Friday night, last night, and we stayed till midnight again. I was exhausted from the wood chopping and all that.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, I don't drive. That was my big thing. I'm like, Ann, you got to drive there so I can work on the way down, because there are some things I had to clean up. And then on the way home, I'm like, Katie, can you drive? Because I'm going to fall asleep.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
So they drove both ways. And then, I just walked around a lot, but I'm clocking some good mileage on my Fitbit this week.
I would imagine walking around Disneyland for 12 hours a day. Man, sounds like a lot of work. And well, the woods from the trees that you felled in your yard, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that was from December, late November. And then we split the wood with Frank. So Ann was taking wheelbarrow loads over to the boat. You know, he has all of his wood under that boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we filled that up, then filled up our little area. And then we made a new area for a third thing. I think we got like 2.5 cords or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's a good number of wood, a good amount of wood. Yeah. Sweet. So you'll have some fires this coming winter. It'll all season and be ready to burn.
That's right.
So, Ted, we have a review I think we need to read.
Oh, that's right. So we want to thank Calvin from A Podcast About Something.
A Podcast About Something. So Calvin says, I never knew listening to an hour-long conversation about a two-minute trailer could be so much fun. The hosts are incredibly engaging and keep the conversation flowing. They usually discuss a few trailers in each episode and what it means for the movie and how the movie will be received. If you look forward to new trailers dropping and want to stay up to date on all the latest upcoming movies, Trailer Junkies is the place to be.
Cool.
I guess we are the place to be, right?
Thanks, Calvin.
Yeah. So with that, we need to get into some trailers.
Do we?
Well, I think we got to do at least one, but maybe three.
Okay, cool.
What do you say we start with Gemini Man?
Okay.
Yeah, and then Will Smith.
I'm excited to hear what you think about it, because I was a little confused halfway through, and then I was like, this is perfect. It's kind of disjointed in time with Jimmy Hates.
The disjointed in time, I don't mind. I mean, I like Tarantino films, you know?
Okay, good. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, I don't know. Are cloning stories that compelling, you think?
I don't know. I think it's based on a story that was very popular. So I think this falls in line with kind of Will Smith fare. I think he's good for this. It's not even like a genre. It's like if it's based on a good book, maybe he's the guy to do it. It feels a little like iRobot. It feels a little bit of, you know, not Men in Black. It's not tongue in cheek. What's the other one? I Am Legend. It feels like I Am Legend mixed with iRobot.
Or the Scarlett Johansson harvesting your organs, like cloning you to harvest your organs movie. What was that one?
Oh, I don't know. What was that one?
I can't remember. It was like a long time ago.
Many beers ago.
Yes. You know, the thing that I don't understand, and maybe it'll play out in the movie, but the way the trailer kind of plays it out, I watched the trailer a few times and I couldn't really get through like the premise of it. And it just seems like Will Smith is who Will Smith is, his character. Mad scientist guy clones him. So then you have a younger Will Smith character, but mad scientist guy wants young Will Smith character their clone to kill old Will Smith original. But does he clone Will Smith so then in time, then young Will Smith clone will kill old Will Smith original? Like, I just don't understand the premise of what's going on. Like, what's the reason for it?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a great assassin and they want to... Okay, so I don't know anything about the real story. So I guess there is a graphic novel or a book or something this is based on. So I apologize to the world for not researching that part of it. But just from the trailer alone, you know, the inferences that you could take from that, it feels like, oh, he was already a great assassin. Clone him now so that, you know, in 25 years you can have another great assassin, and then that great assassin can kill his older self, and then you have 25 more years with this great assassin. And it's an asset.
And the movie I was thinking of is The Island.
Awesome movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, where they, like, it's like this futuristic world where they harvest you and you're like, yeah, there's a clone of you, so if you need like a liver transplant, you just go get your liver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this is a little bit different, where like if you need someone to like know your every move, then there's that guy.
Yeah.
No, but I also felt that it's a little bit like Us. Like there's
Us.
Yeah, the movie Us.
Okay.
Yeah, there's you, and then there's like Bizarro you.
Mm.
You okay. know? And then like they're out to kill you, and it's like, well, who wins? Like the only way to survive is to kill the other one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess because of the science, the sci-fi angle on it, I didn't even think of Us.
Oh, okay.
But no, but it is, it's a neat angle on it. It's a neat theory, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I also, like, what do you think? A lot of computer, like CGI, the computer generated stuff to make Will Smith look like half his age.
I think ever since Benjamin Button, I think we've seen advances in this technology of facial tracking where they can put digital masks on people. And it's just, it's very commonplace to see, you know, younger versions of people in movies, you know, people playing younger versions of themselves through digital, like you said, CGI.
And I think probably some of the most famous ones are Terminators, where Schwarzenegger's like a really young guy.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like his 1983 self or whatever.
Yeah, I think some of the best. So I love Benjamin Button, and they had a ton of BTS behind the scenes on the Blu-ray for that. And they talked about pioneering this technology for that movie. So I think since then, I'm sure that company and other companies have come up with huge programs that will automatically kind of churn out that digital makeup.
Right. So Gemini Man's from a book then, you're saying? I didn't know that.
I think so. They don't really sell it up in the trailer. I thought they would do that more, but
yeah. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody who's read it from what I predict might happen. But, you know, all I was going to say is, like, maybe old Will and young Will team up to get the doctor that made young Will. But how do I know?
All we have is a trailer.
That's right. That's right.
So what do you think? Are you going to see it, or you're going to wait? You're going to probably not see it?
Oh, I'd probably take a pass on this. I mean, no, you know, here's the thing. Like, it looks good, given all the other things I want to do and see and places to go and things to be and everything else. Like, yeah, I mean, if I don't have anything to do, sure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some movies where, like, it would be a downright no. But this isn't one of those. I mean, like, I like Will Smith. It's just,
yeah,
I don't know. I probably won't see it, though. It's, there's too much effort involved. I'm too lazy.
Here's one of my comments is in the this is a futuristic movie, right? A futuristic action adventure movie.
Well, because of the cloning though, right?
Yeah, okay, sci-fi.
Yeah.
Do they not have guns in the future? Because they use dirt bikes as weapons like multiple times in a trailer.
No, they showed like rifles and stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But Will Smith used a dirt bike twice as a weapon in the trailer.
Yeah, was that young Will or old Will?
Oh, I don't even know.
I don't know either.
Moving so fast, but still, throwing dirt bikes at people is kind of crazy.
Yeah, he like hits the throttle and jumps off and the dirt bike goes flying at the guy. And then other Will ducks. Because he knew exactly.
He knew.
He knew. Yeah, that's what he would have done. It was coming at him. Could you imagine, like, you know, like you have your head itches, but then like your evil twin comes over and just scratches the spot because he knows. Dude, how weird would that be? You know.
Well, it's kind of like when you finish my sentence every week. So
that's right. Ooh. That's right. Deadwood. Let's move on to Deadwood.
Okay. You're going to have to lead on this. Did you watch Deadwood?
No, and that was my first question. Oh. Do you have to be a fan of Deadwood to watch this movie?
See, and I don't know. So I think we watched the Barry season 2 teaser trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan, and you're not at all, and it completely didn't engage you.
The trailer did not. I mean, I think Deadwood trailer engages me.
So this Deadwood, the movie trailer, it has something to, and that's, I was hoping that you had watched the series, but I guess neither of us watch a series, and yet it had enough of the story in it to you know, be enticing.
Oh, for sure. And I think the big question is, do you have to watch it or not? My guess would be probably not, because I don't think HBO would make something that would be strictly for Deadwood fans. You know, maybe it's a way to just kind of wrap up a 2-hour movie for just the average person who doesn't want to commit to a series. But then again, maybe the movie is going to be designed to get people to go back and watch the series or something, you know, like what's the marketing piece behind it, and how are they playing the audience to either watch before or watch after, or you know what I mean?
I love the idea. Well, first of all, they're capitalizing, I think, on the fact that Game of Thrones is kind of ending, and if people are, you know, thirsty for more or something else, then this kind of follows, it trails on the end of the Game of Thrones, and then you have Deadwood, and like you said, if you're an HBO fan and you've already seen Deadwood, then this is the capper, and then maybe they make the movie in such a way that, you know, it could be your opening volley into the Deadwood franchise.
I was just about to say that. It's like the prequel to that to the series, right?
It's like the prequel, but it's also wrapping something up. So, you know,
right.
It's the dessert for those who have seen it. It's the appetizer if you haven't, you know, it's kind of the one-stop shop. So
all depending on how it's written.
Exactly. So
yeah,
it's an interesting play. As you know, I'm not into Westerns, although I've pointed out a couple that are my favorites. So maybe this is something to get into. Maybe there's enough here, you know, it's got Major Dad.
Right. And I think with the sound score and with like maybe some of the language that they have and so on, it is a bit, it, you know, takes on a little bit of a modern flair and everything. So it's not your like, I don't know, 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s, like stuffy kind of boring, you know, Western in a sense. And, you know, certainly not your old school Western from like the 50s or anything, you know. And I think the other thing I took from it too, just watching the trailer, is when you think back to a time in history, especially when you hear like people, you know, make America great again, you know, whatever. It's like, it's like there was some, as if there was some point in history when everybody was like, you know, holy and nobody swore and there was no infidelity and,
yeah,
you know, all this stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you look at like, no, man, the Wild West was like, I mean, prostitution and gambling and drinking and gunplay and murders. And I mean, it was like, they don't call it the Wild West for nothing.
That's right. And Ian McShane is a perfect salesman for that place and time, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and so I think that's the thing that I enjoy about the way the trailer played out is that, you know, like people still F-bombed back then.
You know? A lot.
Like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like you're not going to, like, nobody was righteous.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm sure there were some righteous people back then.
Well, okay.
But
you get the idea.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But the sound score, though, I think wraps up the contemporary flow with like the old world stories and stuff. I don't know. I think it looks really cool. You're not going to watch it.
I don't know. I wanted to watch Deadwood so much. I just looked it up. It ended in 2006.
Oh, that long ago?
It was only on for a couple of years.
Even better.
Doesn't it feel like it was?
It feels sooner though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
So I'm very interested to see how it plays. I'll watch some more. Let's see. We got rid of HBO because we're not in Game of Thrones, so I can't watch Barry season 2. So I think once season 2 wraps up Barry, we might do like a compressed 1 month where I just watch all the stuff I want to watch. So if I can finagle the timing on it, maybe we'll figure out when this comes out. And when does it come out? We should know that as trailer junkies.
Yeah. So Deadwood comes out May 31st.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, June. If June lightens up, June will be my HBO month where I'll jam-pack everything I want to see on HBO and just get it for a month.
There you go. I mean, you know, long days of daylight makes it feel like, you know, the nights go on forever. So you'll be able to stay up late even though the mornings come awfully quick. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not saying I'm going to watch the series, but when we log back on to HBO to get into Game of Thrones, yeah, I mean, a 2-hour movie, why not?
So you already do that? You already do, like, you turn HBO on and you turn it off when you want to watch stuff?
We did once before.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we did... Actually, I think it was like 2 years ago because that's when Game of Thrones was. And we did Westworld and what was it called? Oh, Silicon Valley. And
oh, cool.
Vice Principals. You know, we watched a bunch of stuff then. And then it was like, ah, man, Game of Thrones is done. And we watched all the shows we wanted to watch. And we just turned it off because we just kind of got caught up with it. Oh, and then was that Showtime?
Billions? Which one?
No. No, we talked about it before. Woody Harrelson was in the first season, and then...
Oh, no, that was it. True Detective.
True Detective.
That's HBO.
Yeah, so we also did True Detective, both seasons on HBO, unless maybe there's a third season. I don't know.
There's a third season. It was really good.
So. Okay, we haven't seen it yet then, but we watched the first two seasons of True Detective. Yeah, so, you know, we get into HBO, we do a bunch of stuff, and we kind of binge things, and then we're like, yeah, we're all caught up, we'll turn it off for a while, because, you know, there's no reason to keep paying when you're not really watching.
There you go.
And, you know, and that's the thing I like about streaming networks, you know, that, like, streaming networks is, you know, okay, it's $15, $12, well, even Netflix is raising their prices to $13, $12.99, you know, and, I mean, there's a lot of good value there, I'm not going to complain, you know, I mean, I know they're probably going to catch some flack for it, you know, as it goes, but whatever. I mean, you can watch a ton of content for like $13 a month. I mean, but the thing about it though is I like those models where you could turn it on and turn it off easy, because you turn it on, you watch, you turn it off, and as long as they continue to put out good content, you're going to come back. Obviously, they want you there 12 months a year, and probably the average person gets lazy and doesn't turn it off, but you know, if I'm not watching, I'm not paying. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Especially because it adds up, you know, $15 for HBO.
Oh, for sure.
You know, $40 for Hulu or whatever. And it's like, it's crazy.
I think that's what Ben Thompson was talking about.
Yeah.
A couple episodes ago, whatever, when he was talking about Disney and everything is, yeah, if you do everything a la carte, it is more money.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to call, I'm not saying I coined this, but what I like to call subscription fatigue.
Mm.
You know, you get into, and it's not just streaming networks, it's all kinds of stuff. Software, you know, you don't buy software, you now rent it, you know, and everything is like a subscription, and like you get into this thing where everything is like $4.99, you know?
Yeah.
But man, $4.99 by 100 items, I'm going broke. You know what I mean?
Hey, is that new app you joined? Is that a subscription?
Oh, Strava?
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, they have various... I'm on the free one where it just...
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah, it just tracks what you're doing. But no, you can get like coaching advice. You can, you know, like, I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff it does. You know, it tracks. It provides like virtual thing. I don't even know everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all I want to do is just ride my bike and be like, ooh, wow, I climbed 4,000 feet this ride. Anyway.
That's awesome.
So how about we move on to Clue? The Pink Panther. I mean, Murder Mystery.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If the Orient Express was a multi-million dollar yacht.
Exactly.
But the one character, he reminds me of like, what's his name? Inspector Clouseau.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, Clue. I mean, it's like all this stuff wrapped into one. You know, and it's so funny though, man. Like you always say, Netflix just looks at what everybody's into. And it's like the aggregate of all this stuff. And we're going to like, okay.
Yeah.
They like hot women driving hot cars. They like comedy. They like murder. They like, you know, whodunits. They like whatever, like choose your own adventure.
Right.
You know, like
let's. And it's so funny because they are the Frankensteins of streaming service. You know, they've got their pieces and parts and they're just shoving them together and sewing it up and charging it with a, you know, a multi-million dollar deal, you know, of electricity and seeing if it lives and if it walks and talks. And I think they had a 6-picture deal with Adam Sandler. So I don't know where this is in the 6 pictures. And I'm sure it's one of the last. He's done a bunch of movies with them. I feel like it. I feel like this has got to be.
Oh, wow.
You know, the back three for sure. Yeah.
So you think Jenna had some work done?
I don't know. Maybe she's got the digital makeup just like Will Smith.
Because isn't she like in her 50s or something?
She looks good. She looks good.
Oh, yeah. Of course. That's what I'm asking.
She doesn't look like she's had any work done, which is the best kind of work, you know?
That is. I mean, good jeans. Nothing beats good jeans, man. I'll tell you. But it's, you know, it's just funny, though, how like you take the premise of the beginning when she's reading the murder book and he's like, the butler did it, you know, and then like they get like as it goes on, they get into a murder mystery.
Yeah. And he's like a detective. So it kind of has a fun little, you know, like it has very strange nuances throughout. Like there's a little bit of John McClane, even though it's not really an action movie. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He's like, I'm a cop. You know, like the flash of the badge thing. There's a bunch of Date Night. I mean, to me, Date Night was such a great unexpected movie from last year.
Right.
Did you ever see it? Did you ever get out to see it?
That was the one with the games and everything with
Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie and like much funnier than I expected. Expected kind of like a carbon copy cookie cutter movie.
For sure. Yeah.
And it really like it took off and it had like wonderful little scenes and sequences. So, you know, there's hope for this one too. I feel like the whole knife scene where he puts the knife back is just, it's so ridiculous. And to me, that really hits me like Clue, like you said, you know, so it has that farce in it where
right.
It could be a kind of a cult status, you know, cult classic status if it plays well, you know?
And what I think is brilliant about murder mystery is when you have husband and wife or whatever sitting on the sofa trying to figure out what to watch, and you know you always tell me how you and Anne just like don't watch the same things. You know, you want to watch your thing, she wants to watch her thing, and like
yep.
The you know forever the two shall be apart. But I think this movie is so brilliant because like I think it would be hilarious.
Yeah,
it's going to be funny. There's gunplay, there's car chases, there's all this stuff, but then they do it in such a way that they get into a car with right side steering, you know? And
yeah, so we didn't cover this one this week, but it came out, I think, within a day of when this trailer came out. There's a Men in Black International trailer number 2 that came out. It has the same exact joke in it.
Oh, does it really?
They jump in the car and she wanted to drive. She's American and Helmsworth is a Brit. And he's like, she's like, oh, that's supposed to be over here, you know, the steering wheel. And he's like, not in this country. And then he drives off in it. And I'm just like, wow, within like how it's not even like the same genre, not even the same platform, but the same joke ended up in 2 different trailers that released, you know, either the same day or one day apart from each other. It was very.
Oh, that's funny.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's hilarious. But no, I mean, I think all those elements are great for like couple watching.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
co-viewing of a different kind.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the women will get into whatever the women find funny and they'll connect with the Jennifer Aniston character. Mm-hmm. The guys will get into whatever the guys find funny and connect with the Adam Sandler character. They're both going to laugh and, you know, I think it's going to be a great one, to be quite honest with you, you know, especially for just like I said, Saturday night, get a little bit of popcorn, one thing leads to another, and you and your wife or whatever are sitting there like, you know, marital bliss for at least a couple hours.
Yeah. Well, speaking of marital bliss, did you see, well, Santa Clarita Diet just got canceled.
I never got into that.
I watched the first season, started the second season, and I wasn't into it. And I think Anne was upset, but she never really watched it. So I'm like, why do you care? And they're like, oh, but you like that show. And people, it was popular, you know, she had friends that liked the show. And I think Netflix just is like, we have enough.
Yeah.
You know, we have enough. People are coming in, they're watching it, and then now they're starting to leave it. So they have all the metrics they need to say, like, give it another season, let it try, let it, you know, or don't, and then pull the plug. So I think they pull the plug prematurely, but I'm sure that they have metrics saying that it's on its way out. So,
you know, that's interesting though, because if you think about statistical analysis, like when at work for myself, I deal with the normal curve all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
So the normal curve is like, you know, the 50th percentile is the middle, and it just kind of has that slope to it. But then there's other curves where you have like all the action in the beginning or all the action in the end, and it's more like a hockey stick and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if you look at the average viewing, just, you know, across television, across streaming, whatever it is, the average viewing of seasons, and let's just say there's, you know, 9 seasons to make it simple.
Yep.
Where the 5th season is like right dead smack in the middle of where the curve would be. I wonder if you have that like build up and then that slope downward where like people just fall off after a while. And, you know, if Netflix is looking at that, or even others too, I mean, Hulu and so on, but if they're looking at that and saying like, you know, we're over the hump, it's time to pull the plug on this thing. One more season, we're done, because like we're losing viewership every week.
Mm-hmm.
And why pump the money into a program that is just going to not make us the money, you know, like a useful life problem, you know?
But I think on the other hand, like you said, like you were saying, they're not all normal. What, normal curve? Is that what you call it? Like a
curve. Yeah.
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 Some of them have dips. Some of them will come back. I think early on when people started to look into metrics and ratings and things like that, and judging television by that, everyone said, if you looked at the ratings for the first 2 years of Seinfeld, you would have never put money into the third season of Seinfeld.
Right.
And like Seinfeld didn't get going until season 3. A lot of shows around that time had to, you know, have a studio executive champion that would just kind of stick it out and say, no, I know this is a good show. People just haven't found it yet. It hasn't found its stride. It's getting somewhere. You know what I mean? And then they kind of just stuck with things back in the day. And now they don't. It's like, if your first season doesn't knock it out of the park, you're not getting a second season. If your second season pales in comparison to your first season, then you're on the bubble for season 3, you know? So I think that's why it's neat to see the way Deadwood's playing out, to kind of give people that taste. You know, if season 3 fizzled out for people, then maybe Deadwood has, you know, that final kick. And then depending on the ratings for Deadwood, they can decide what they want to do with it, whether they want to just leave it at that, or, you know, maybe there's a chance to do something else, considering that HBO execs now want to pump more programming into their, you know, channel.
Yeah, and I think one of the beautiful things about a channel like HBO, or I wouldn't even say a channel, I mean, it's like a streaming network, really.
Yeah.
I think they've all but separated themselves from cable. I mean, sure, they're bundled with cable if you want to pay for it through cable, but you can get it outright, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As Netflix or whatever. And I think the great thing about an HBO, when you look at network television, like, you know, ABC, NBC, and so on, is the networks are still fitting in sports, news, what do you call them, where you have like reality TV show type things.
Yes, yeah.
Dancing with the Stars, whatever, you know, like, and then they have their various programming, dramas and comedy, like they try and do everything,
right,
with advertising, commercials, right? And then you look at Netflix, that kind of does everything too, but they try and do it in a streamlined sort of a fashion, and then, you know, without ads, but they're kind of all over the place as well. But then when you look at HBO, it's premium adult content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're not gonna have, I mean, if it's comedy, they're gonna have comedy, but if it's comedy, it's adult comedy,
right?
You know, you're not trying to it's not four quadrant comedy, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not trying to be safe for everybody, you know, like you go into, whether it's Deadwood or whatever, you go into it knowing there's going to be nudity, language, violence, like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you go into it knowing, and hey, if you're okay with it, it's going to be a great show. If you're not, well, then don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other programming for you. And I think HBO doesn't mind saying that, you know?
Yeah, I think, like you said, when you see HBO, you know that as an adult, you're going to be entertained, you know, all the way from early on, like Dream On. And what was that football show they had? Do you remember? Did you ever watch the football show?
Oh, with The Rock.
I don't think it was The Rock.
Yeah, it was with The Rock. I didn't watch it, though. I know the one you're talking
about. Oh, Ballers. Oh, you're talking about Ballers.
Is that Ballers?
No, I was talking about the even older one.
Friday Night Lights?
No. First and 10.
Oh, First and 10. That, man, you're going way back.
Yeah, this says 1984. Wow, I was watching that at 1984.
Hey, that's why I said you're going way back.
So
hilarious.
I definitely watched First and 10.
Is that a First and 10 like a F-I-R-S-T or like a 1-S-T?
1-S-T.
Okay, okay. Yeah, First and 10.
And you were, and with Dream On and First and 10, you were guaranteed to see topless women.
Right, right.
So it was...
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't even think I've ever seen First and 10. So it looks like it went from 84 to 91.
Yeah.
Seven season. Man, how does it go that long?
Shannon Tweed.
Oh, yeah. She was like the B-rated, like nude actress, you know, light porn. Yeah, yeah, but I know all those crazy movies. But no, I mean, I think that's the great thing, though, about when we look at streaming is as long as you can get what you want through streaming. And the great thing, too, I think about HBO is you can go back and you can watch things like The Wire, or you can watch A Band of Brothers or something without having, you know, like it's in their archive that you can easily get to.
Right.
You know, and they're just amazing. It's amazing programming. So anyway, Ted, I think we beat up streaming a bit. So
cool.
Yeah. Three cool trailers this week. I'm not sure. Well, I would say Murder Mystery is a definite watch. The bar is low. The wife and I can agree. No problem. We were both kind of laughing at the trailer and stuff.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I think Deadwood will be a watch at some point. I mean, I'm not saying the season. It might be the season, but or the series, I should say. But yeah, definitely the movie. And then Gemini Man, meh, I don't think I'll be hitting that one. How about yourself?
I think we both agree we'll definitely watch the Murder Mystery, and then I'll probably watch Gemini Man before I watch Deadwood.
So you will watch Gemini Man?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not in the theaters, but I'll Redbox it or rent it from my video store here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I'm not saying I won't watch it. I mean, I'm not like opposed to it. It's just there's just other things I would rather watch at the moment, you know? Yeah. So
did you watch any Marvel this week?
No, we have Ant-Man.
Oh, good. I like Ant-Man.
Yeah. Ant-Man's been sitting here and we had, you know, the boys getting to bed late and I don't know. It was just a
not yet.
Like the evenings have been pretty hectic.
Well, my Friday screening at work, we have a movie screening every other Friday.
Oh, cool.
But this Friday I was out chopping wood with Frank, so I missed our screening this Friday, which was Infinity War. And of course, I've seen Infinity War a bunch of times, but because the family and I are going tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning to see Endgame,
yeah,
we watched Infinity War tonight at home, so I still got my Infinity War fix.
Gotcha. Yeah, but not on a big screen, though.
Not on a big screen, but you know, the home screen is big enough. It's fine.
Yeah. So every Friday there's like a screening?
Every other Friday. So
every other Friday. And so they're like,
so every other Friday there's a screening.
They're like, all right, everybody, put your work away. Like, come watch a movie.
If you could break away from work for a couple hours on a Friday afternoon, you know, why not? Why not do it? And it's, you know, it's again team building and all that good stuff.
How many seats are in the theater there?
I want to say it's probably about a 50 seat theater. something like that.
Ah, that's very cool.
Yeah, they built it on the second floor for us.
Yeah.
So it was neat.
So it's like you and your team and whatever, you guys go down there and it's like, hey, we're going to watch, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there was a little tiger team that's put together to build morale and build, you know, some cultural stuff for the group. And
Tiger, you know, like, Berg, all these acronyms. Well,
I don't think Tiger is an acronym, but is, yeah. And Alex is kind of programmed, one of my coworkers is kind of programmed the movies to coincide. Like when I said we watched All That Jazz.
Yeah.
That was coinciding with the release of the series premiere of, what's it called, Fosse and Vernon, which was the series about Bob Fosse. So, you know, he's culturally in tuned and he has, you know, he did for the Infinity War on Friday because Endgame was, you know, coming out that's the same weekend. So his the one thing I missed is that he does actually trailers for the movie we have to see in 2 weeks. So I missed the trailer is the one thing I missed. So I'll have to, on Monday, I'll have to ask him what the trailer was or to send me the video link for the trailer. He does it all in like scratchy. He does the scratch effect on his premiere and he mixes it up for us.
Oh, that's cool. And who chooses the movies?
He does. He programs the whole thing. I think he said he programmed the whole year to coincide with different dates of current events and current movies that are coming out.
Oh, okay. I see. So it's not just random picks. I mean, these things are like set up to be, like you said, Infinity War then leads into Endgame. And,
right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, All That Jazz led into Fosse and Vernon.
And where are you seeing Endgame?
Seeing Endgame in AMC Burbank, AMC 16.
8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
Why so early?
Because the company rents out the whole... all 16 theaters.
Oh, you're going with work.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, you can take, you know, you and three dependents can go.
So it is 8 a.m. and then it ends and then they more or less the theater opens to the public at that point.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And the theater gets a little extra concession hit, I guess.
Well, of course they would. I mean, you're going to have like half a... your work there.
Right.
You know, and it's not like, no, I'm not buying popcorn. They're not paying for it. You know? So, well, cool, man. We'll have fun tomorrow.
We will. So it starts at like 8 and then it'll be out at noon.
It's a 3-hour movie?
Yeah. It's over 3 hours.
Over 3 hours? Oh my God. When I get to that point in the Marvel challenge, I'm going to start to think at like 6 o'clock.
Well, at least we know that if you have to take a bathroom break, you could just like stand on the side of your sofa and pull your pant leg open. And
That's right. Yeah. I'll be like, Clarice, hey man, hey, I'm not suffering for anybody. Look at how many beers I had. All right, man. Now we're getting stupid.
Okay.
So, hey, you have a good night. Hey, have fun tomorrow at Endgame, man. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts. And yeah, sounds cool.
Cool.
All right, Ted.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man. Later.
See ya.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.